The first reading this morning is taken from Psalm 33 and can be found on page 561 in the Bibles. Psalm 33, starting to read at verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. And the second reading is taken from Luke chapter 12 and can be found on page 1045 in the Pew Bibles. Luke chapter 12, starting to read at verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Luke chapter 12. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Have you ever missed the recycling collection? I did last week, and I was really annoyed with myself, as I'd missed it the time before as well. Now, I'd got it ready earlier in the day, but then in the evening, I forgot to take it to the bottom of the drive in time for the early morning collection. And this was despite having noticed the neighbours had put their bins out, an early warning sign, as it were, that collection day was nearly upon us. I missed the sign, and now the green household has a stack of cardboard building up in our utility room. But in fairness to me, at 7 o'clock in the morning, I rushed out in my pyjamas, only to be told by the food recycling guy that the main collection takes place at 6 o'clock. So despite my best intentions, my preparation had been inadequate, and I'm now going to have to wait another couple of weeks. Being prepared and ready is an important part of daily living. Being late for work, doctor's appointments, or interviews can have a detrimental effect on our lives. If we have a flight to catch, it won't wait for us if we don't arrive at the airport on time. And it can also be annoying to others if we're constantly late or hold them up. But more importantly, being ready is a vital component of our spiritual walk. As Jesus taught his disciples, you must be ready, as the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Waiting and looking for the second coming is implicit in the Christian faith. In the Creed this morning, it's reminded us that Jesus is coming back. And we said this: he ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. In other words, Jesus is coming back from heaven to earth to judge the living and the dead. The setting for Luke 12 is towards the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. Opposition from the religious leaders had reached boiling point. The people must decide who they will follow, Jesus or the Pharisees. To this end, in Luke 12, verses 1 to 12, Jesus makes some unequivocal statements, including this in verse 8. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. In the rest of this section, Jesus imparts to the disciples 8 important lessons. Time is short, and he has a lot to teach them. The lectionary readings, which set the pattern for our sermons, don't always follow the natural divisions in Scripture. And that's the case for today. And our reading straddles 2 of these lessons, those concerning covetousness and watchfulness. And we'll look at these in order. Firstly, turn to Luke 12, 32 to 34. In Stephen's excellent service last week, we heard about the rich fool who kept building bigger and better barns to contain all his crop. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you." The man had thought only of himself and had not been rich towards God. And verses 32 to 34 pick up the story. Here, Jesus concludes his teaching on what our attitude to wealth and possessions should be. He provides the antidote to materialism. Again, Jesus is giving the people a choice. Are you going to chase stuff, or are you going to build the kingdom? Covetousness is an unhealthy desire for wealth or possessions, which often includes being jealous of what others have that we don't. Their new car, bigger house, foreign holidays, early retirement. Left unchecked, it can eat away. It can take away our peace. Covetousness can also affect church fellowships. Thinking someone has a better ministry, has more friends, or gets more attention than we do. It is corrosive, and we should bring it to the Lord in confession. But there is a better way, a spiritual way. In verse 32, Jesus assures his disciples that he knows the struggles of everyday life. He knows when it is hard to put food on the table or to pay the bills. So Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." I love that expression, little flock. It's a term of endearment. Jesus is guiding his sheep into the paths of righteousness. They are not to be afraid. He has given them something money can't buy, the kingdom of God. And that is where our priorities should be, on the things of God. Jesus continues, "Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If you feel led, get rid of all that stuff you've got stacked up in the loft or garage, which has accumulated over the years. I know I've got loads of things I don't need. And if it's taking up a disproportionate amount of time or energy, if it's distracting from your Christian service or witness, it may be time to move it on, to let it go. Don't be afraid to do it. Replace the stuff with purses or wallets which don't wear out, which are built on kingdom generosity, love and service. The treasure we earn in heaven can never run out, wear away or be stolen. It is an inheritance waiting for us when we go to be with the Lord. For the avoidance of doubt, however, I would say that it is not sinful or wrong to plan for the future, to pay a mortgage, or to save for retirement, etc., etc. What is wrong is to leave God out of our plans. The second lesson is that of watchfulness, found in verses 35 to 40. In this parable, Jesus uses the analogy of a master returning home from a wedding banquet early in the morning. What has delayed him, the celebrations or the length of the journey, we aren't told. Perhaps it's both. Whatever the reason, the servants are to keep watch because they don't know the exact time he will arrive. It could be the second or third watch of the night, anywhere between 9 o'clock in the evening and 3 o'clock the next morning, which is quite a time span. And as the hours draw out, despite their tiredness, the servants are to be as vigilant at 3 o'clock in the morning as they were the previous evening. And the servants' instructions are threefold. They are to be dressed, ready for service. They are to keep their lamps burning, and they are to open the door immediately the master knocks. The picture we are given is that of an expectant church, watchful, waiting for the return of their master, Jesus Christ from heaven, at his glorious second coming. In obeying the master, it will be good for these faithful servants. Let's look at the three instructions in turn, given to the servants and by implication to ourselves. Firstly, we are to be dressed, ready for service. While waiting for the master, we should not be idle. We should be busy doing his work, participating in fellowship life, and being ambassadors for Christ in our daily lives, wherever that may be. We should be faithful to our calling. But how do we dress for service? What are the clothes we should wear? A few years ago, when Cherie and myself had an invite to a garden party at Buckingham Palace, at which the late Queen Elizabeth was in attendance, we dressed appropriately in our best clothes. When gardening or doing jobs around the house, we'll put on our old clothes. The police, firemen and paramedics all wear clothing suitable for their jobs. When hill walking, it's best to wear sturdy footwear and to have a waterproof coat. You hear tales of folks walking up Snowdon in flip-flops and getting caught out by the weather. When I took out the recycling, I was dressed in my pyjamas, which wasn't really appropriate, although the food waste guy didn't seem to notice. So while we wait for the return of the Master, we should dress appropriately. Paul, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, expresses it like this. In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. But this is the important bit. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. In this context, baptism refers to Holy Spirit baptism rather than water baptism. Being baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ when we are spiritually reborn. In other words, when we become Christians, we are clothed in the righteousness that Jesus gives us, purchased for us through his death on the cross. The clothes are tailor-made, specifically for each one of us, and they all fit perfectly, and they are all free of charge. God the Father no longer sees the filthy rags of our own attempts at being righteous. He sees us as he sees his beloved Son. This is how we dress for service, walking in the love of God and in the knowledge that our sins are forgiven, that we are no longer under condemnation. Revelation 16:15 says a similar thing, and you may wish to look it up later. Secondly, we are to keep our lamps burning. Each servant has their own lamp for which they are responsible. The imagery highlights the need for us to remain spiritually alert, guarding against complacency and lethargy. Just as a lamp needs to be fueled to keep shining, so we are to nurture our faith, ensuring that its spiritual light does not dim. I find that my daily devotions are one of the best ways to achieve this. Distractions, disappointments, and challenges can easily derail our walk with Jesus. These verses encourage us to live with purpose and faith, not only in anticipation of Christ's return, but also in our daily interactions and responsibilities. Psalm 33, which we heard, describes it like this. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. And lastly, when the Master knocks, we should be ready and alert to open the door. When Jesus comes, he will bring with him those who have died in their faith to meet the servants who are still alive in the air, and we shall all be changed from glory into glory. And the faithful servants will be rewarded. In a wonderful twist, the master himself will dress for service. He will have the servants recline at his table, and he will wait on them. In fact, they will share a meal together. Revelation 3:20 says this: "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." This is not the usual way of the world, for the master to take the role of a servant and to wait on tables. But our master is no ordinary master. He came not to be served, but to serve and give up his life as a ransom for many. The creator and sustainer of the universe will return to wait upon his creation. And when he does, our joy will be complete. So, next time you take out the recycling, think on: am I wearing the appropriate clothing for the day? Am I dressed for service in the righteous robes Jesus has given me, so I can be his ambassador in the world? Amen.